Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 4. Sankhya Yoga Prithag Bala. Pravadanti Nipanditha. Ekam Apyasita Samyag. Ubayar Vidite Palam. Sankhya, analytical study of the material world. Yoga, work in devotional service. Pritak, different. Bala, the less intelligent. Pravadanti, say. Na, never. Pandita, the learned. Ekam, in one. Api, even. Astita, being situated. Samyak, complete. Ubayo, of both. Vidite, enjoys. Palam, the result. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. Purport. The aim of the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. The soul of the material world is Vishnu or the Supersoul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service to the Supersoul. One process is to find the root of the tree and the other to water the root. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of the Lord. Therefore, in essence, there is no difference between the two, because the aim of both is Vishnu. Those who do not know the ultimate end say that the purposes of Sankhya and Karma Yoga are not the same. But one who is learned knows that the unifying aim in these different processes. So Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala Pravadanti Nipandita Ekam Apyasita Samyag Ubaya Vidite Phalam. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the result of both. Achieves the result of both means that up to a certain point one will get the result of both. The aim of Sankhya philosophy is to ultimately get out of the material misconceptions of life. By analytical study, one will discover that we're eternal spiritual beings and that the root cause of everything is Vishnu. So that's the aim of Sankhya philosophy, the aim of knowledge, as Krishna says, Bhavanam Jamanamante Gyanamam Prapadite Vasudeva Sarvamiti Saramahatma Sudurlabaha. That after passing through many, many births and deaths, that one who is actually acknowledged surrenders to me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and that all that is. So the aim of philosophy is to ultimately realize that Krishna is God. But after you realize Krishna is God, then the next stage is dasya. Do something for Krishna. So if Krishna is God, then Krishna is controlling everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava udmatak sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That all material and spiritual worlds are coming from Krishna, and therefore, as Krishna says, that kalosmi lokashe krit pravrido lokansa maharta mihapravitak ityepi tvam nabha vishanti sarve is Vastitat Pratnukeshu Yoda. That time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come here to engage everyone. So everyone, not only the devotees, but everyone throughout the entire universe is being controlled by Krishna. Yak sarvatman vishnehas tat tat prapi shubhashubham nabhinandanti nadvesti tasi pragyapatishtita. That one who understands that, even though there's disturbances or peace in the world, one is not disturbed by these comes and going, coming and going of different material circumstances. Because Arjuna is asking Krishna, Stita Pragyasya Kaba, Shasamadi, Stasya Keshava. In the material world, one is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising or despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So nothing is happening by accident. Everything has a purpose, and Krishna's purpose is to bring everyone back to the spiritual world. Everything that's going on is simply for that purpose. Now, when people are being chastised, there's a purpose. The purpose is so that they can wake up and understand that they're not the controllers, nor that they're enjoyers, that Krishna is the enjoyer and controller. And if they violate the laws of nature and try to become the controller outside of the realm of Krishna's service and try to enjoy their senses without proper sanction, then the result is that they're simply trouble. So modern society is always in trouble. It's just that sometimes we realize it and sometimes we don't. Now there is some virus and people are dying. But of course, before the virus, people are also dying. As they said before, when Prabhupada was asked and when he was interviewed in England, why are so many people dying in India? And Prabhupada's response was, well, I've been in England for some time and I notice people die here also. As a matter of fact, the death rate is about the same, 100%. So it is not that suddenly people are in trouble and before everything was fine. Everyone was in trouble, but when people realize they're in trouble, that's very good. If you're in trouble, you're going to die soon, that's not very good. But if you think you're going to live forever when you're going to die within 5 minutes, that's very bad. King Katvanga Maharaj, he was fighting on behalf of the demigods for many years, and finally Kartikeya offered Katvanga Maharaj a benediction, whatever benediction he wanted in the material world. So he simply asked, how long do I have left to live? And the demigod informed him, you have 1 moment to live. So immediately he came to the earth planet and surrendered to Krishna and went back to Godhead. In other words, if you're given 100 billion euros, that's very good. But if you're only given 100 billion euros for 100 billionth of a second, it's not very valuable getting 100 billion euros. So 100 billionth of a second is quite a long time compared to how much time we have left to live compared to eternity. In other words, we have maybe 50 years, maybe 20 years, maybe whatever we have, but that amount of time compared to eternity has no meaning. It's completely insignificant. So we think we're going to be here for a long time. We're wrong. We're going to be here for an insignificant amount of time. Now, what we do with that time, that's what's important. Because what we do with that time will determine what maybe what's going to happen to us for millions of years, if not eternity. If people are being misdirected, then if they're getting misdirected and someone gives, you're sleepwalking and you're about to walk over a cliff and someone comes by and slaps you and wakes you up, you say, why did you slap me? Well, they slapped you to wake you up. So people are in have the uniform of life, which is extremely rare. It is said that if you have the vast Pacific Ocean and you have one life, not a life jacket, it's this round thing that, what's that?
Life preserver.
Preserver. If you have a life preserver floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, I don't know if we can realize how big the Pacific Ocean is, but it's many times bigger than Slovenia. The odds of a dolphin suddenly poking its head up the next time through that life preserver is about the same chance we get to get a human form of life after passing through another 8 million species plus 400,000 so-called human species, some of which are not so human. It's extremely rare. And if so many people are being misled to, in their next lifetime, getting into the lower species of life, then if someone gives a slap and wakes people up so they take a different direction, that's very good. So people may think it's a very bad situation, but it may be very good if it's properly utilized. Just like that story of the king that we all know about. The king, he had one minister who was always telling the king, whatever Krishna does is good. So the king was not so devoted, didn't have so much faith. So he said, oh, come on, why do you keep on saying that? He said, yeah, it's true, whatever Krishna does is good. So the king was, one day he was riding with his assistant, and he was hunting with his assistant, the minister. And the minister shot an arrow, and the arrow backfired.
Before that, the king lost part of the finger.
Oh, the king lost part of the finger. They were hunting, and the king was hunting, and he lost part of his finger in the hunting. And so he asked the minister, he said, oh, what do you think of this? You know, I just lost part of my finger. So the minister said, whatever Krishna does is good. So the king became angry and said, well, if I throw you in jail, is that good also? Is that Krishna? So the minister said, yes, whatever Krishna does is good. So the king had the minister thrown in jail. He said, are you sure it's good? Yeah, it's very good. So then the king heard that the dacoits were stealing his cows, and he took his army out to get the cows back, but he got lost from the army, and the dacoits captured him. And they took them to his hideout, and they were going to sacrifice him before Goddess Kali. They bathed him, they gave him a nice meal, they bathed him, they took him before the Goddess Kali, and about to chop off his head. And the priest said, stop! And everyone looked around, well, why should we stop? He said, look at this man. He's missing part of his finger. He's not worthy of being offered to the Goddess Kali. He's imperfect. So they looked at him and said, it's true, we're sorry. We have to throw you out of here. You can't be offered. You're not worthy. So they threw the king out. And the king had to walk back. And he came to the minister. He said, that's true. It's true, but I don't understand it, that you say everything is good. It was good that I got my finger cut off. It saved my life. But what about you? I threw you in jail. So the minister said, it's true. You threw me in jail. But if you didn't throw me in jail, I would have been out chasing the dacoits with you, and they would have caught both of us, and they would have sacrificed both of us to Goddess Kali. They would have thrown you away because you're missing part of your finger, but I all have all my fingers. They would have sacrificed me. So the king said, yes, that's right. Whatever Krishna does is good. Prabhupada said, like a businessman, when the stock market goes up, then he sells his stock. And when the stock market goes down, then he buys all the stock. So in any way, he's making a profit. He's gaining. Similarly, in any circumstance, if one is intelligent, one can utilize that circumstance to help spread Krishna consciousness. So now when the society's in bewilderment, their infatuation undoubtedly with material progress is going to diminish. The so-called material progress. And what was material progress based upon? It's based upon currency. Fiat currency, they call it. It means that I just print up money and we actually it's accepted as real money. But it's the same, exactly the same money as this Monopoly game. You know the Monopoly? Everyone plays Monopoly. It's the same thing. The only difference is that the Monopoly money is more colorful. But people attach a certain value to that piece of paper. And because people attach a certain value, you can actually get something for it. Now, if people attach money to the Monopoly money, you could also get something for it. But it just so happens that previously, this paper money was backed by something, namely gold, which in itself is really doesn't worth anything either. If it was backed by apples or something, it would be good. It would be worth something. Or if they made even the paper money, if they made the money, paper money, edible paper, then it would have some value. In case of the value of the money went down, at least you could eat it. It would have some value to it. So they used to attach it to some gold. But gold has a problem. You can't cheat people so easily. With paper money, or it's not even paper anymore, electronic money, they just create it with a few keystrokes, create $1 trillion out of nothing. It's magical. Of course, it's not that it doesn't have an effect, because if I have $100 and it can buy $100 worth of things, but then you can just print up the money and you can print up your own $100. So now we both have $100, and the person who's selling the article, he sees that both these people have $100 and they're competing with each other to buy my article. So now I'm going to charge $200. So my $100 now is only worth $50 in real buying power. Someone else took $50 away from me just by printing it up or even keying it in on their computer. But I had to work to get that $100. I had to work 10 hours, 100 euros. So it's just cheating. That I can just, you know, print up out of nothing my money, and you have to work for your money. And I can print up $1 trillion just by, if I want to, and therefore I take away $1 trillion worth of other people's money. People don't even have $1 trillion. Just everything becomes useless. It just becomes an imagination. And eventually the whole scheme is exposed and people realize that there is trillions and trillions of ideas floating and there's only, you know, so much things around that you can actually buy. And therefore the whole faith in the system collapses because people realize their money is useless. When I was in Peru, as I mentioned, the first time I went to Peru was in 1982, and they had what was called the Peruvian sole. And one sole was equal to $1. But they had this inflation, so by the time I left Peru that year, there were 3 million soles to $1. And then I came back in a month, and they changed the currency to new soles, new Peruvian soles. And it was 3 to $1. And when I left that year, it went back to 3 million of these new soles to $1. So you can imagine, here you are, you work for the government, maybe you're in the military, which I know someone, and he was getting like something like 1,000 Peruvian soles a month from the government for his retirement, which is a considerable amount of money. It was worth approximately 1,000 U.S. dollars. But by the end of the year, he was getting 1,000 Peruvian soles, and it was worth something like, there were 3 million soles to $1. So his money was worth about 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So it was, and 3 million. So it was worth less than a penny. He was getting his pension. Obviously, he was a little disturbed. He went from $1,000 a month to he was getting around a penny every year. So what happened? The people who were driving the whole thing, they got his money, actually. So it wound up somewhere. That value wound up somewhere. He didn't get it. Someone else wound up getting it. So this is called trickery. I can print up whatever I want, and you have to accept it. And I can buy anything. I can buy anything I want because I just print it up. But you got to work for it. The other 9 billion, 7 billion people got to work, and the people who are printing it up, the money, a few hundred people, whatever, they don't have to work because they just print money up or key it in. And they can print up more money and key in more money than everyone else who are working can possibly make in a year. But what is the value of that? It drives what's called the modern technological society. Because it gives everyone these paper bits of paper and they can buy all these gadgets. Otherwise, if it was gold, there wouldn't be any impetus to manufacture all these different electronic gadgets and all this mass-produced cosmetics and all these cars and everything else, because no one would have enough money to pay for it. So you give everyone this money, they can pay for it. Actually, what they do is you give them a piece of paper which says, this is a debt. This piece of paper is a piece of paper that acknowledges some debt that someone has. And with this debt, you can also go into debt. You can get your own debt. And so people wind up taking out loans, theoretically, of money that was just dreamed up. And then they go into debt trying to pay it, so they work their whole lives in order to pay off the debt for their mortgage, for their car, for their child's education, whatever. So actually they're just slaves to the pieces of paper. They're working. Basically, they get enough to eat and some shelter. And by the end of their life, maybe they own their house. And the house has fallen apart by that time. But in any case, most people don't have any assets whatsoever. They're just working as slaves. So previously, there used to be, few slaves around. But now everyone's a slave. Everyone's working for the piece of paper, which is just printed out of nothing, and trying to pay off their debts to get these commodities that are manufactured that really have no real intrinsic value. In other words, people could live without a car. People did very nicely when they used to walk. They were healthier. You can live by growing your own vegetables and fruits and other things. You don't really need an iPhone to find out how everyone else is suffering around the world. All these things are not really necessary for healthy, happy living. They're just manufactured out of desire so that, ultimately the people who are manufacturing it, they have their own reasons. And it's not for the happiness of the people. It's to control people, directly or indirectly. Control their lives, control their money, control everything. And modern society has not produced, by this technological advancements, happy, healthy, enlightened people. Much of the opposite is produced confused, ignorant, unhappy, frustrated, bewildered, insecure, civilizations which are simply struggling even to get the basic necessities of life. And even if they get the basic necessities of life, they're usually of such poor quality that they're better off not even having such necessities of life. Like I pointed out before, that they fed rats this breakfast cereal to see what the nutritional value was. But when they gave the rats the nutritional, the breakfast cereal, they left the box. They just opened the box and let the rats eat. But the rats ate the box and left the cereal. Because they were more intelligent enough to know that there was more nutritional value in the box than there was in the cereal. So now you eat something in modern society, you don't have to work, seemingly you don't have to go in the garden, you don't have to grow it, all these difficult things. You work in a factory. And at the end you can buy this food. And in order to understand what you're buying, you have to have a PhD in chemistry to be able to read the label. And even that, they leave out half the dangerous chemicals, because some scientists may read the label and complain. So such is modern society. So if the fever of modern society trying to so-called get ahead in life, advance modern civilization, if that fever goes down and people get frustrated and feel more insecure in society and don't trust the leadership that they're actually going to promise the glorious kingdom of God on earth through technological advancement. I remember I went to the World's Fair, I think it was in 19, I must have been 10 years old, so it was probably 1960 or something. And the World's Fair in America, it was all about progress through electricity, how they were going to provide the kingdom of heaven on earth through electricity. So here we are, many years later, and yet the kingdom of earth hasn't quite appeared yet. Kingdom of God on earth. Now they have 5G, and it looks like the kingdom of hell on earth will appear. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Can you say what is necessary for happy life, the basic what we need?
Happy life? Well, from the material point of view, nice food. Healthy, delicious, nutritious, well-cooked, well-prepared, well-served. Food, prasadam specifically. Clean air, fresh water, nice relationships with people. That's from the material point of view. From the spiritual point of view, self-awareness. Awareness that we're eternal and becoming aware of the ever-blissful, all-attractive, supreme person. The source of all beauty, knowledge, strength, fame. Renunciation and strength. And all love, one who has unlimited affection for every living entity. That's the secret of happiness. Anything else? Yes.
So if the entire modern monetary system is one great farce, how can devotees put up with it and remain sane and Krishna conscious at the same time?
Well, we'll have to find out. Right now, there seems to be something going on which puts everything up in the air. In other words, none of us here are growing anything. We're completely dependent. I don't think anyone here is growing anything, except for growing old. So we're dependent on the system. And we'll have to see how much the system, what direction the people who are controlling the system want to take it. What can the devotees do? Create farms. Try to become self, as Prabhupada wanted. Try to get some self-sufficient farms. But even that's not the answer. There's not much we can do. Because even if you have a self-sufficient farm, and most people don't have self-sufficient farms, then when they run out of food, they know where to go. The only solution is become Krishna conscious and see what Krishna provides, because ultimately it's Krishna who's the controller. Prabhupada says during World War II, when everyone else was starved, many people starved in India to death, then Prabhupada asked his godbrothers if they're doing all right. And they said, yeah, we're getting enough. So Krishna, we have to rely on Krishna. And if Krishna wants, he'll provide. If Krishna doesn't want, we may go back to Godhead sooner than we expected. All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.